Blog Talk Radio.
Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D. I want to welcome you in the studio on tonight. Thank you for joining me. I am excited about what will be spoken on tonight. I am trusting and believing that the Holy Spirit has something that He wants us to know on tonight. Amen. So again, welcome into the studio. Well, we're going to get right into the Word, and we're going to move forward. And we're going to be I believe that the message was going to be right, but not right. However, there's been a shift. That one will be at a later date. I believe that God has something that He wants to share with many of us. And maybe it doesn't apply to all of us. So if it doesn't apply to you, sometimes the Word of God doesn't, maybe what's being ministered at the time may not apply to you. And that's okay. That doesn't mean that you shut it down or you sign off or you say you get back to it later. That just simply means you post a story, because maybe it doesn't apply to you, but maybe it's going to apply to somebody that's going to cross your path, or maybe it applies to you at a later time down in your life. So the Word of God is always relevant. It's always relevant. And even if you think it's not relevant, it's relevant. Amen. And so tonight, like I said, I was going in the direction of a word called right but not right. But as I was studying for that word, something, it wasn't sitting comfortably in my spirit. This other word kept coming up to me. And so tonight, if I had to give the word tonight a title, which I always do normally if I minister or if I bring forth the word, I always bring forth a message and a title for that message. So if I had to give tonight's message a title, the title would be, "'Cause I Said So." Because I said so. So as I was studying and a shift, the Holy Spirit did a shift. You know, you can always know when it's the Holy Spirit doing a shift, because I was studying and it was just not flowing. You know, the direction I was going wasn't flowing. And I kept going back to this other direction. I kept going back. And for me, when I am uncertain about what I'm supposed to be doing, first and foremost, I need to be still before God. But secondly, God will begin to bring certain scriptures. He will begin to bring content to where he wants me to go. And it flows seamlessly. It's not where I got to sit up and really think, do I need to say that or what am I supposed to say? And oftentimes, there has been on occasions where I'm bringing forth the word and I'm all over the place. I'm all over the place. That has happened. There's been times where I was totally into myself, and meaning that I wasn't depending and leaning on the Holy Spirit of God on the inside of me to bring forth the word. I was trying to bring it forth in my own will and my own power. Amen. And so tonight, I think the direction of right is going to be a perfect time for that word. It's going to be the right time and the right time for me to bring that word, but that's not going to be tonight. Again, tonight's message is going to be entitled, "Because I Said So." And so today, I was just, you know, I go throughout the day, and of course I have an occupation, so I have to work. And every day I'm always in thought, you know. The Word of God tells us to pray without ceasing, and, you know, it may not always be the formality of getting on our knees. It may not be the formality of getting into a quiet place. I think thought, you know, when our thoughts is on the Lord, when we're meditating on the things of God, His Word, when we're just in thought, I think those are moments, quiet moments between us and God. And sometimes when we don't see the formality, sometimes when we don't see the format, you know, the status quo, the tradition of formally how things are done, we get uncomfortable. We, you know, we start thinking that, okay, God, are you there? I'm not, you know, I don't feel you. I don't see you, or I'm not hearing you. And God is in the little things. You know, God is truly in some of the little things. It's not always, you know, it's not always just a big thing like somebody throwing down their crutches and walking, you know. It is sometimes it's just a little small thing. Sometimes just, you know, driving to work and you look to your right and you see a bunch of trees that are green and you see the blue, you see how they meet at the blue, at the edge of the blue sky. And, you know, you just look and you take a deep breath and you just say, thank you, Lord. You know, when you look at His creation, it could be an ant crawling on your window shield. And if you really, you know, and you just look at it, and that's just an ant. You know, some of us put on the windshield wipers. I have, you know, a bug is on my window. I'm putting on the windshield wipers and getting it off. But there are some moments when I know I'm in the presence of God that won't even allow me to cut on the windshield wipers, you know, because I'm seeing this life, you know. So today was kind of one of those days where I was thinking, and those who follow social media know that there are certain trends, there are certain language, there are certain terminologies, there are certain things that if you follow social media, when people say these things, you automatically know what they mean. So social media has on Thursdays what they call Throwback Thursdays. Coach D, what does Throwback Thursdays mean? Throwback Thursdays is when people will post old pictures, you know, of themselves or certain things that was back in the day. So there are old photos that come out on Thursdays, and it's called Throwback. I mean, I think it's Throwback Thursdays, or something like that. You know where I'm going. But anyway, so it dawned on, you know, I know today is Thursday, but that crossed my mind about these, you know, throwback Thursday pictures that people be putting out. And so I was just kind of swiping through my phone, and I had all these old pictures from back in the day, you know, all these pictures. And I was looking at these pictures, and I was just looking at my beauty. Now, just stay with me. If you stay with me, there's a message in it. But I was looking at my beauty. I was looking at my, you know, my size of what the world considers beauty. You know, my size, my skin was flawless, no wrinkles, no bags. You know, everything was tight, no cellulite. I had this, what they called back in the day was a song called Brick House. I had a brick house shape. I mean, I was just gorgeous, you know, and I was been into nails and hair for years. Some of you may not know that in my past life, I was a cosmetologist. I took it up in high school and graduated from high school and immediately got my license, and I did that for many, you know, many years. I actually ran a family shop. We had a family shop in the, for those who are familiar with California, in West Los Angeles in the Crenshaw area. We had a shop, and it was one of the best, most elite, sophisticated shops of its time. There were beauty shops on every corner, but there was none like ours. Ours wasn't a beauty shop. It was a boutique. And we had some of the best hairdressers in Southern California that worked at our shop. And, it, you know, we were known for, you know, have private rooms for those who came in. Because if you know anything about West L.A., it's right outside of Hollywood and Beverly Hills. It's not far. So we had clients that came in. We had people that were celebrities. We had clients that came in that were well-to-do. So we had private rooms where if they wanted to get their hair done, if they wanted to get facials, if they wanted whatever they wanted to do. So it was a top-of-the-line salon. And believe it or not, here I was 18, and I was managing that salon. So I've been managing for – I've been a leader for a long time. And it was, you know, thank God my parents seen that leadership in me, and they provoked me to purpose. They pushed me, you know, they pushed me. But I was managing a shop at that age. So anyway, getting back to the point, so I was really into hair and nails and glamour. That was a big thing for me, and you know, it was a big thing for me, and I just always was glamorous. I was a girl, you know. I wasn't a tomboy. I liked glamour. I never even owned a pair of tennis shoes until I got in my 30s is when I started buying tennis shoes. If I had on a sweatsuit, I had on pumps with it. So I'm building this picture, and I want you to stay with me because God is getting ready to take us somewhere on this one. Believe you me. So anyway, as I was going through these throwback pictures, I was looking at the beauty. I was looking at the youth. I was looking at all these things. And I glanced into my eyes in a couple of those pictures, and I realized that even in the midst of my beauty, I was broken. I was broken. I was searching for love. I was searching for acceptance. I had been taught at a very early age that sex represented love. So I didn't know anything about love per se, but it was lust. And so sex to me represented love. And because I was taught this at an early age, and when I say taught, we're not all information don't just always come from our parents. Information comes from our culture, our authority, our peers. So when I say this, you know, and I'm sure my parents follow me on my show. So there's some things I share on my show that they have never heard me communicate. And so when I say this, I want to be clear in saying that we have various means of how we get information, how we learn. And so I learned at an early age that, you know, that sex represented love. And as a small girl, my imperfections were magnified. You know, we tease and taunt, and many of you know back in the, you know, we had heart in those days. We really did, because some of us may have been broken and damaged by the things that happened to us, but we didn't hear about suicide in my days as a kid. That was just, I mean, I'm sure it was happening, but we didn't hear about that kind of stuff. You know, if you got teased, you got teased, and you teased back. You know, if somebody was bullying you, you know, you either sucked it up or you ran home, and hoping that mama wasn't at home, because if she was at home, guess what she was going to do? Send you back out the door. So not saying that those were the perfect things, but it was a different world. And so as a small girl, my imperfections were magnified. I was, you know, I had a big forehead. I had a big forehead. I can say that with confidence now. As a little girl, I couldn't because why? Because I had my siblings and my peers, my cousins, that would tease me about my forehead, and they would call me Big Forehead, and they would call me Forehead Eater and Forehead Meister. And that is not bad enough that they were just saying this with the word. They were using their hands to cut my forehead, and they would cup my forehead and then ask me what time it was. I'm just kind of giving you. So my forehead was big. I was a thumb sucker up until I was 13 years old. So I sucked my thumbs on my teeth. I was still growing, so my teeth were bucked. Thank God my face grew into the teeth, and I stopped sucking my thumb at the appropriate time so that it didn't leave me walking around at 50 years old with bucked teeth. Amen? But I had all of these imperfections. I was, you know, big forehead. I had the big Bucky Beaver teeth. I had some other things going on that in that day and age, you know, me growing up, I was brown. I was actually darker than I am now. Somewhere as I got older, I faded, and my color, my complexion started leaning more towards my mom's complexion versus my dad. But I was really dark-skinned as a kid growing up. And in the 60s, you know, we had some color, some prejudiced colors within our own race. Black wasn't beautiful, at least not when I was growing up. It was the lighter-skinned girls. It was the light-skinned girls with the long hair and things like that. Not that I didn't have long hair at the time, but I was dark-skinned. I was everything that was not popular in that time. Amen? And so that quite naturally had already put, a level of insecurity on me, a lack of confidence. I didn't believe in myself. So if I didn't believe in myself and I've already been traumatized by my imperfections being magnified, and then I've been taught that sex, you know, that sex represented love, can you imagine that combination? Why am I breaking this down for you? Because when we get ready to go into the Word of God, we need to, we got to stop as the church just telling people don't do it because I said so. And what does that look like for the church? That looks like you're a sin. You're a sinner. You're a sin. You're a sinner. We are. We're all a sinner, saved by grace. But there's people that are still sinning. But as long as we keep telling them, you sinning, you ain't doing this right, you ain't doing that right, but we're not telling them why. We're not helping them to understand that if you continue in a lifestyle of sin, you are rejecting God. You are separating yourself from God. And we got to start saying why. We got to start sharing the things that sin caused. Yes, sin. But there's some root causes. And we need to get to the root causes of sin so that we can start changing. See, people change what they understand. People change what they understand. When they start to understand it and they understand the why, then people begin to change. Even now, many of us are on diets, and some of us are going to college at a late age. And sometimes we get frustrated, and we get agitated, and we want to quit. We don't want to go any further. But we then remember, why am I doing this? Why am I eating healthy? Why am I not eating after 6? Why am I not eating a good old juicy hamburger? Why am I not eating? See, so we have to remember why. Why? Because I don't want to be sick. I don't want to be fat. I don't want to be unhealthy. And when I start thinking about those things and the damage of those things, it reminds me of my why I have to stay on track. Amen? We getting it? Why are you back in school? Because sometimes you got to go to work a full-time job, and then turn around and go to school and be up all night doing homework. And those are the times where if we're not careful, our mind will begin to play tricks on. Why are you doing this? You know, you should not be doing this. Oh, forget it. What difference going to make? Then you got to go back to your why, because your why got to be greater. Amen? It's got to be greater. So going through all of this and going through the different things that I was going through and all the things that was going on during this time of my life, I knew that I was broken. And because I was broken and because of the dynamics of my culture, my authority, my influence, the things that I learned that I had to turn around and unlearn, I began to emphasize on my beauty because I really was a beautiful young lady, very beautiful young lady, but I was not beautiful on the inside. I was broken. So when you're broken on the inside, you do a whole lot on the outside to make you look good. Amen. And so I was doing a whole lot on the outside to make me look good. And even though I didn't have to, I was beautiful, but I didn't feel beautiful. And so I was doing a whole lot on the outside to make me feel good. And then I'm going to tell you, even though I was doing all these things, what I didn't realize at the time that I later found out is that the predator spirit will always recognize and be drawn to brokenness. I'm going to repeat that. The predator spirit will always be drawn to and recognize brokenness. So because I was broken, I was attracting predator spirits. What do you mean, Coach D? Predator spirits are, I was attracting men that had no business at their age trying to date me. I was attracting men who were broken themselves, but they had the predator spirit. So they seen the false love. So they seen the sex. You know, they seen the glamour. All this stuff they lusted after. They lusted after me. And me not understanding that it was a spirit of lust and me not understanding that it was merely sex, I looked at it as love. Why? Because I needed to be loved and I needed to be accepted. I needed to feel beautiful. And so I mistake sex for love. I mistake sex for acceptance. And I'm saying this and I can share because there's no shame because guess what? This don't just happen to women. This happened to men too. You have a lot of men that's out there and they're in it. You know, they got a lot of women and, you know, they're called players or they call pimps or they all this, you know, they got these side chicks and all that. But a lot of men are broken too. And the reason why they're chasing after all these women is because they're trying to prove to themselves that they're desirable. They're trying to prove to themselves they think that that's the way. They've gotten sex mixed up with being a man. Amen. So tonight I believe the Holy Spirit is wanting to speak to us. He wants us to understand, really, what is love and really what is sex because they're not the same. And we cannot continue to operate in sex and thinking it's love. Amen. And so as I was going today and he was breaking me down, I mean, you know, showing me who I was and what I was going through is why did I dress seductive and why did I wear all these things? And I'm not saying we can't be beautiful and women, I'm not saying that you can't be gorgeous and dress nice, but there's a spirit that comes with it. There's a spirit. And I'm going to tell you, when you're in the spirit of the Holy Spirit, you don't want to be walking around with your boobs hanging out. You don't want to be walking around that if you cough, your whole butt's going to be out. It's called modesty. And when you start building that relationship with God, there are some things that begin to transform and change for us. We're not the same that we used to be. We don't want the same kind of attention that we used to want. Amen. We want a different kind of attention when we start learning about the love of God. We're talking about loving our neighbors. But guess what? We'll never be able to love our neighbors, and we'll never be able to love ourselves apart from God. Because what? God is love. And because God is love, if we don't know God, we don't know love, period. And I don't care how much somebody could say, you know, may the peace be with you and may the force be with you and love above everything. If you don't know God, you don't know love. And if you know God, then you know love. And if you know love, then you know his will. Amen. For our lives. So in this brokenness and knowing the familiar spirit and God was beginning to minister to me about the brokenness I had in my past and even in that brokenness, as I looked at these pictures, there things began to come to mind. And one of the things that came to mind was Jeremiah 29:11. We all know that scripture. And it really stuck out because we know that Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that God knows the plans that he has for us. And even in my brokenness, he had a plan for my broken life. He knew who I was. He knew who he was calling me to be. He knew that I was going to go through this stuff. And even though I didn't know this, he knew. And because of that, his grace was sufficient. Because I could have, my story could be different. I could have got caught up on drugs. I could have overdosed. I could have been in sex trafficking. I could have been so many things. So many things, you know. But I wasn't. I was exactly who he called me to be. I went through the brokenness, and it took time for me to come to him. It took time for me to begin to know who he was and know that he had plans for my life, that he had plans to prosper me, that he had plans to give me expected end, that he had plans to give me a future and a hope. I had to learn that. Why? How did I learn that? First of all, by giving my life to him, but then I began to study his word, and I had to learn that. So today I'm praising God. Because guess what? No matter what I did then and all the brokenness and all the poor choices and decisions I was making and all the things I went through, as painful as they may be, glory to God, I don't live in any condemnation. Why? Because Romans 8:1 tells me, therefore, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So I don't have to be condemned about my past. Amen? I don't have to be condemned about my past. And I have no shame of my past. No matter what I did, no matter how horrible it looked, no matter what people thought about it, you know, no matter what names I might have been or whatever, I have no shame about my past, because 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone, I'm someone. So if I'm someone, he said, anyone who that is in Christ Jesus is a new creation. I'm a new creation. All old things, old brokenness, old thoughts, old processes, old things I was taught, they, guess what? They passed away. They don't even exist anymore. Why? Behold, because I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. So the things that used to be are not no more. So there's no reason for me to walk around with my head down. There's no reason for me to walk around in shame behind old decisions that I made. So what if you used to be on drugs? So what if you used to be a prostitute? So what if you used to be a hustler? So what? If you're in Christ now, all that stuff is old. So what if you've been married 4 or 5 times? So what? If you're in Christ now, so the thing is now that you're in Christ, what you going to do? Are you going to keep making the same foolish decisions? Or now that you're in Christ, are you going to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his what? Righteousness. That everything else would be added to you. So now how we function, because we're new creatures in Christ, is we should be seeking God. We should be seeking God in every decision. And I know sometimes it get hard. Sometimes it get hard for me. There's certain things I'd be wanting to do, and I just be like, ooh, what is it do? And I have to stop and say, you know what? Not my will, but God will. God, is this, you know, is this your will? Is this going to, you know, if you say the same thing, Lord, I'm with it. I don't want to be out of the will of God. And that goes for my relationship. That goes for my employment. That goes for everything. I don't want to be out of the will of God. So I'm fighting daily. I'm struggling well. I'm fighting daily and struggling to make sure that I'm trying to walk in the will of God. Amen? Because I don't want to make decisions outside of that will. And what I realized, I've already realized this, but what I realized is that in my broken beauty, in my broken beauty in the past, I am still beautiful, but it radiates from a different way. My beauty now radiates from the inside out versus the outside in. It comes from God, and as I share, God is love, and that's a beautiful thing. God, John 4, chapter 4 and verse 7, tells us, beloved, let us love one another, for God is love. And love comes from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And a lot of times we think we know God. And a lot of times we're, you know, and I'm talking to us saved folks. I'm talking to us church folks. You know, we say we know God and we love God, but yet and still our actions and our lives doesn't reflect that. And so, God, I believe on tonight, if you didn't get any other message on tonight, is that God wants us to know that he's love. And apart from him, you would never be able to love nothing right. Apart from God, you would never be able to love nothing right. So if you are in relationships and you really don't understand, you really don't have an intimate relationship with God, you're not going to ever be able to love somebody else right. And that comes from a place of brokenness. And so tonight I believe God is telling us, get into that quiet place, plug in, and begin to really understand the nature of God, understanding who he is. Allow him to come in and begin to mend those broken pieces in our lives that keep us perplexed, that keep us in the same whirlwind, caught up in the same things. You know, doing the same things, because it still comes from a place of brokenness. And me knowing this and God ministering to me first and foremost, you know, I know now. So because I know, I do better, but I still have the moments of residue. What is that, Coach G? I still have moments of residue of brokenness. I still find myself with old, you know, maybe an old thought to come up, you know, or maybe, you know, the spirit of, you know, why not now, Lord? Why am, you know, there's certain things I'm believing God for, right? And those things haven't manifested, and I find myself asking God, why not? You know, is it ever going to happen? Am I ever going to be? You know, you start asking God these questions. That's the residue of brokenness. Don't mean you're broken. It just means it's a residue, and you don't entertain the residue. You don't entertain the residue. You begin to clean it out. You know, when you have a glass, you cleaned and it still has some residue of what was in it before. It still has signs of its past. You know, if you put some tomato juice in a glass and you drank out of it and you wash it, and if you don't wash it good, you'll see a little film. It's residue, and that residue is just a sign of the past. What was previously in this glass. So we just want to make sure that we're washing the glass good, getting it clean, making sure that it's no longer contaminated, amen, so that we don't have to see the residue of the past. When we begin to, you know, we belong to Christ. The word of God tells us that we belong to him. We're no longer our own. When I say now, you know, before if I told somebody I love them, it came from a different place. Matter of fact, I wasn't going to even tell you I love you because to me, love, remember, also love was represented the wrong way for me. It was represented in lust and sex. So I wasn't going to tell people they love. And I can remember, and I'm just going to share really quick. I had been married and everything, doing ministry and everything, and my marriage dissolved, and I came back home, and I had been out of my parents' house since I was 18. I mean, 17. I'm sorry. I've been out of my parents' house since I was 17. And by the time I turned 18, I had got my own apartment. And I never moved back to my parents' house to live. But after my youngest son and going through a divorce, I came back home, and I was at my parents' house for about a week, probably about a week or two. It wasn't going to last long because if you have to know my parents, and they get you out there quick, even if they have to go get you somewhere. But anyway, I was there for about a week, and I began to get involved in their ministry, the ministry they have, and I began to work, you know, do some work for the family business. And there was a coin that their ministry would always say. It would always say, have you been told that you, and you guys hear me say it now, have you been told that you're loved and appreciated? And I was so broken and so bitter and didn't know, I didn't have the personal relationship. Not that at some point in my life I did never had it, but because of my brokenness I had drawn back from what I knew. And so they would say that, and I could not understand it. I could not fix myself to tell them I love them. And one day I remember, and they still laugh about it today. We're talking 20 years later. One of my sisters in Christ that we're part came out of the same ministry. We laugh about that to today, because one day one of them came and they told me, "Have you been told you love today?" And I went off. "You don't love me. You don't even know me. How are you gonna love me?" I mean, I just went off. Niecy came. And they looked, everybody's eyes got big, and they couldn't imagine what was wrong with this crazy girl. But I shared that because I could laugh about it now. It's because I didn't know love. I didn't have that intimate relationship with God. So because I didn't have that intimate relationship with God, it was hard for me to even use the word love. Now I'm walking around telling everybody I love them. Why? Because it's coming from a different place. It's coming from my spirit and not my loins. Well, it's not coming from a place of sexual gratification. It's not coming from a place of love. When I tell my brothers and sisters that I love them, I'm telling them I love them with the love of the Lord. I love them. I love them. Because why? Because love lives inside of me. And because love lives inside of me, it has to exuberate on the outside of me. So I love them. And I can share that now, and I don't have to feel, insecure. I don't have to feel kind of uncomfortable, because before, love meant sex for me. And so if I'm telling you I love you, that was uncomfortable. But it's not uncomfortable no more, because I understand. And we got to start understanding what love is. We got to understand why the Bible talks against adultery, why it talks against fornication. I got to speak it. Not enough pastors are speaking it. There are more men and women, leadership in the body of Christ that are unmarried and having sex and think that it's okay to test drive cars. It's not. It's not. Not according to Coach D, not according to Bishop this or Apostle this or Evangelist this, but according to the Word of God. And he's telling us, don't be fooled, because these are some things, that's just one thing in addition to other things that if you are operating in them, you will not inherit the kingdom. You will not classify and qualify to be a kingdom citizen. So we could come up with every excuse. Well, I don't have to marry him. We're committed. Who said we got to do a ceremony? They wasn't doing ceremonies and issuing marriage license in the Bible, so I don't understand why you have to do it. You know what? We can come up with whatever excuse, but the Word of God is clear. It is clear. And the clear part about it is that there are certain things, and we're going to discuss that, and we're going to close out, that we could operate in, and we will not inherit the kingdom of God. We will not inherit the kingdom of God. And what is that? Our joy, our peace, relationships with God, our Creator, because it's sin, and he cannot dwell where sin dwells. Amen? He cannot. So, in conclusion, I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians, and I'm going to take you all with me. I've been reading scriptures throughout me ministering on tonight, but I'm going to take us to 1 Corinthians, and we're going to read there. We're going to read that, and then we're going to start getting to a close. Tonight's message doesn't have to take an hour, but I felt heavy on my heart that God needed us to know. We all heard, because I said so. But because I said so, our parents told us that. I can remember my mom used to say, I would say, why? She said, because I said so. And because she said so, I had to do the opposite, because I needed to see why, And the why, oftentimes, because I didn't know the why and I wanted to find out why I couldn't do it, it got me in trouble. And it's not, and that we're in a day and time where because I said so is not going to be good enough. It's got to be because the Word of God said so. And because the Word of God said so, people got to understand. They got to understand the Word. And if people are just sitting in church and they don't understand the Word, guess what? They're not going to be able to walk it out. They're not going to be able to walk it out. And how do they understand the Word? They understand the Word by the Holy Spirit. So it's up to leaders. It's up to teachers and preachers and ministers. It's up to us to preach the unadulterated Word of God. We have to. We got to teach about the Holy Spirit. can you imagine sitting in church for 30 years and never experiencing the Holy Spirit, never being baptized in the Holy Spirit? You can't do this walk without the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us divine revelation. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us understanding of the Word of God. I don't care how good somebody preach. I don't care how good somebody do. I don't care how good somebody. I don't care if the person that's hearing it is not operating and baptized in the Holy Spirit, they're not gonna. It's not gonna bring any revelation knowledge. And if you don't have the revelation knowledge, you're not gonna change. It's not. It's just impossible. Amen. And so we need preachers and teachers and pastors that's going to bring a word from the Word. I say that, and one of my other sisters in Christ, she uses that term, but bringing a word from the Word. We need the Word of God, because it's the Word of God that begins to transform. It's the Word of God that teaches us. It's the Word of God that breaks things down for us. We need the Word of God. And thank God that God has brought forth men and women of God that preaches the Word of God. But at the end of the day, you better know that Word of God for yourself. Sitting in church on Sunday for 30 minutes and an hour is not going to get you what you need. Yes, go to church. Yes, fellowship. Yes, go somewhere that you're getting the Word. But you're going to have to study on your own. You're going to have to get the Word on your own. You're going to have to get it, because it's going to be hard to change. Sexual sin is on top of a lot. That's one of the hardest sins to get rid of. It really is. It's one of the hardest sins to overcome. It's one of the hardest sins to get in discipline of. You know, and the Word of God tells us why, because it's the one sin that we use in our own body, that enters into our own body. So let's get to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9. We're going to start at verse 9, and I'm going to read this. I'm reading it from the Message. Everything else I've been reading on tonight was from the English Standard Version, but tonight for 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I'm going to read the Message. The reason I'm reading the Message, because I like the Message to break it down, just in layman terms. It is what it is, as the young people say. It is what it is. And this, it is what it is. It ain't no sugarcoating. It ain't no because I think it's supposed to be this way. It ain't no because that's a white man's religion and they just trying to get us not to procreate. It ain't none of that. It is what it is. It's inspired Word of God. Either you believe it or you don't. You can't believe some of it and then don't believe the other part on it. If you believe homosexuality is a sin, you better believe that sex outside of marriage is a sin. If you believe that lying is a sin, you better believe that gluttony is a sin. It's the Word of God. So again, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting at verse 9. Don't you realize that this is not the way to live? Unjust people who don't care about God will not be joining in his kingdom. Those who use and abuse each other, use and abuse sex, use and abuse the earth and everything in it, don't qualify as citizens in God's kingdom. A number of you know from experience what I'm talking about. For not so long ago, you were on that list. Since then, you've been cleaned up and given a fresh start by Jesus, our Master, our Messiah, and by our God, present in us, the Holy Spirit. Just because something is technically legal doesn't mean that it's spiritual. Just because something is technically legal doesn't mean that it's spiritually appropriate. If I went around doing whatever I thought I could get by with, I'd be a slave to my whims. You know the old saying, first you eat to live, and then you live to eat. Well, it may be true that the body is only a temporary thing, but that's no excuse for stuffing your body with food or indulging it with sex, since the Master honors you with a body, since the master honors you with a body, honor him with your body. God honors the master's body by raising it from the grave. So treat yours with the same resurrection power. Until that time, remember that your bodies are created with the same dignity as the master's body. You wouldn't take the master's body off to a whorehouse, would you? I should hope not. There's more to sex than mere skin to skin. Sex is as much spiritual mystery as physical fact. As written in Scripture, the two become one. Since we want to become spiritually one with the master, we must not pursue the kind of sex that avoids commitment and intimacy. I'm going to repeat that. The two become one. Since we want to become spiritually one with the master, we must not pursue the kind of sex that avoids commitment and intimacy, leaving us more lonely than ever. The kind of sex that can never become one. There is a sense in which sexual sins are different from all other sins. In sexual sin, we violate the sacredness of our own body. These bodies that were made for God, given, and God modeled love for becoming one with one another. Or didn't you realize that your body is sacred, is a sacred place, the place of the Holy Spirit? Don't you see that you can't live however you please, squandering what God paid such a high price for? The physical part of you is not some piece of property belonging to the spiritual part of you. The physical part of you, I want you to hear that. The physical part of you is not some piece of property belonging to the spiritual part of you. God owns the whole works. So let people see God in and through your body. Father God, we thank you for your word. Father God, that your word is the truth, that is light, that is power, that is transforming. We thank you, Father God, that you love us so much that you will bring forth your word, that you will bring forth clarity, Father God, that you will break it down that even a child could understand. Father God, that it is your desire that we are operating as kingdom citizens. Father God, that we are following your word, Father. Father God, that we are following the example that you gave us of what love is, and you are love. So, Father God, because your Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us, Father, so should your love. Father God, we just thank you, Lord. And Father God, right now we repent of those times that we haven't operated in your love. Father God, we repent for doing things outside of your will, Father God. Father God, we repent, for we know we have sinned and fallen short of your glory, Father God. Father God, give us a spirit of revival. Father God, that we're not just repenting with our mouths, but Father God, that we're repenting with our actions, that we're doing a turnaround, Father God, that we are no longer doing the things that we used to do. Father God, we thank you for your love. And Father God, I pray that each and every person listening in on tonight will experience your love in such a way this week, Father, that they've never experienced before, that your love will be ever present, that they will know your love, that they will have an intimate relationship with you, Father. And as that relationship begins to grow and as it begins to foster, Father God, that it will pour out and that they will begin to love others as you have loved them. So, Father, I just thank you that you love me. I thank you that you love us, Father. And I thank you, Father God, that you love us so much that you are ever present, that you are just to forgive us, Father God, when we blow it, when we miss the mark. I thank you that you love us so much that you sent a plan B, so to say, Father God, that you sent your son to die for our sins. I thank you, Father, that you love us so much, Lord, that you're constantly giving us the information that we need, and it's up to us, Father, to embrace it. It's up to us, Father, to study it. It's up to us, Father, to live it. So we just say thank you, Lord. We give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen, amen. I want to thank each and every one of you for taking the time to listen in on tonight. I pray that tonight's show just really blessed you. I pray that it encouraged you, and I pray that it really, if nothing else, is provoking you to the thought of, do you really know love? Do you really know love, and have you been expressing love according to the will of God? Or have we been expressing things in love? It's not just sex that we lust for. You know, people say, I love my car, I love my house. And we know that that's a phrase, and, not in the technical sense or the literal sense, y'all say. But we got to, we get in the habit of doing things, and it becomes our habit and it becomes our action. And we got to really start having a lot more reverence for love, because love is God. And we got to learn how to love. And we don't learn that but through God. Amen. And so we really just need to take a look at where are we at? You know, we could have been doing ministry 30 years and still building up bitterness and heaviness and hardness because of life and things that have happened in our lives and that continue to happen in our lives. You know, the word of God, and I think 1 Timothy, is talking about end times, and it's talking about, people's hearts waxing cold. You know, hearts begin to wax cold, and I find it funny that in 1 Corinthians talk about who won't inherit the kingdom of God, and if I'm not mistaken, in 1 Timothy, I believe it's talking about the same thing. It repeats this about who's not going to inherit the kingdom of God, and it begins to warn us, hey, in these last days, mothers will be against daughters and fathers against sons, and people's heart will begin to wax cold, and it's just going to be a lot of chaos and different things that's going on that we already see is happening. I mean, right now we've got wars and rumors of war. I mean, you're looking at the gas, if nothing else, look at the gas station. Look at the price of gas. You know, Houston, I don't know if they ever paid $5 for gas, but they're getting pretty close to $5. When I first moved to Houston, it was $1.86 for regular unleaded gas. That gas now is at $3-something, at $4.11 some places. So I'm just saying, we got a lot of things that's going on, and we just, but the word of God is telling us. Nothing should be a surprise to us. We should not be surprised. We should not be functioning from a spirit of fear, because the spirit of fear says, I don't know. This is the unknown. This is scary. I don't know. But it really should not be the unknown for us. Not if we're in the Word of God. So when we hear about these things, when we see things going on, when we see, the world shutting down and different things, we never seen it before, but it should not be so unfamiliar to us, because the Holy Scripture has shown us, it's given us, it's telling us what things to expect, So it should not be unfamiliar to us. In other words, we should not be in fear. We should be in faith, and we should not be in fear of what's going on, because we do know. We may not know every integral detail of it, but we know what's going on in the world, because the Word of God tells us. So with that being said, I'm going to hush up. I know that everyone has things that they need to get to this evening, and I want to say again, thank you for tuning in to this episode of Processing the Pain. Remember, because I told you so, it's not going to be good enough. Amen. I look forward to being with you. We got a special guest next Thursday. We'll be sending out the flyers, but I do have a special guest that will be here on next Thursday sharing their testimony. So feel free to tune in on next Thursday, the same time, the same place. Do know that you are truly loved and appreciated. Good night.
I surrender.